This morning's reading is from the book of Ephesians, from chapter 3, verse 14, through chapter 4, verse 6. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Jesus Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, to him who, by the power at work within us, is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Ken, for reading our scripture this morning. We are doing something a little different this morning as we wrap up our series on relationships. And we're doing a shared message between us. The reality is that our lives are interwoven in relationships every single day. From the grocery store clerk to coworkers to family to friends to neighbors. And relationships, if we've lived long enough, we know are hard work. And so we've been providing through this series biblical principles to help us have healthy relationships. Principles like forgiveness and grace and humility and listening and empathy and understanding and gratitude. And as we've been building on these principles, we've invited people to submit questions that we would address today. So we received about 15 different questions that we've grouped into four categories. And those categories are about relationships where there are faith differences or differences in spiritual maturity, and marriage, that's the second category. The third category is around having healthy boundaries in relationships. And the fourth category is all the questions that didn't fit in the first three categories. And we'll talk about all of those together today. We realize, too, that what we share is not a one-size-fits-all, that each relationship is unique, each context is unique, each person is unique, and so there may be more questions that arise within you today. So we've provided in the digital bulletin some books and resources that will be helpful for you. And if you'd like to have a conversation to discuss any of this further with any of us, we would be honored, frankly, to sit and have conversation and prayer with you and talk about questions with you in person. So please reach out, because we'd love to be there with you. Would you join me now in a word of prayer? Holy and gracious God, may the words of our mouths, the meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, for you alone are our anchor, our rock, our refuge, and our redeemer. And it is in your name that we pray today and always. As all God's people said, amen. Amen. So why did we pick the end of the third chapter of Ephesians and the beginning of the fourth chapter for our anchor passage as we wrap up the series today? Well, it's a passage that grounds us, that is meant to ground each one of us. It's a very powerful prayer. And the book of Ephesians is broken into three parts, essentially. So the first part is about the kingdom that Christ has already made possible. The third part is about living that out. And right in the middle are the verses that we read today. They're the link between vision and embodiment of that vision, the link between theology and action. So it's the link between all this that we've been talking about, right, and how we put it into practice, how we put our faith into practice. And this passage is a prayer, a powerful, jam-packed Trinitarian prayer that lifts up this desire that each of us, all of us, would be anchored in the love of God, that we'd comprehend it, we'd grasp it, we'd hold on to the height, the length, the breadth, the depth of God's incredible love, that we'd be strengthened by the Holy Spirit, that we would have Christ dwelling in our hearts by faith, and that we would live out of this anchoring relationship and all our other relationships, right? Because only God gets to tell us who we are. Not our success or lack thereof, not our pride or not our shame or not all that we wish we were or the things that people say about us. Only God gets to tell us who we are. And when God talks about us, God speaks in words of love, unconditional love. This prayer is a way that we're anchored and grounded in that. And when we are in relationship with others, we act out of that love, knowing that we are loved by God, changes us and changes who we are with others. So that's why we chose that anchor passage today. So let's get to the questions.
Yeah.
I'll bring up the first category, and we're all going to chime in and take turns, and we had a lot of fun at the early service with this, so we look forward to sharing these questions and how we feel God is leading us to share today. So the first group of questions is about differences in beliefs and faiths, and these are the questions that we received in this category. How do you navigate differences in beliefs and spiritual maturity in relationships? What if someone you love who used to have a strong faith now mocks your faith? And what about 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 14? That's the verse about being yoked with unbelievers, so believers and unbelievers. And then what is the impact of one person on another? So as we've talked about and prayed about these questions, we believe, again, that we're anchored, like Ephesians 3 says, anchored in the love of God. And so we respond to one another with what Ephesians chapter 4 talks about. Humility, kindness, patience, working for unity and the bond of peace. So when we are in relationship with others who are not Christians, that's a way that we can respond with respect, valuing the other person, having grace and space for the other person, honoring where they are, and that we all come with different backgrounds, different stories, different experiences, and we don't know somebody else's story, right? So we meet them in a way that honors who they are, and we can share grace and relationship with them. That's something that we talked about earlier. It's good to have relationships with persons who are Christians and persons who are not Christians, and we can have a positive impact on others, right?
Yeah.
That we can, if we're married to the other person or friendships or neighbors, we can have, by living out God's love, a positive impact on the people around us, that we can be salt and light in all of our relationships, no matter with whom those relationships happen to be. So we talked about 2 Corinthians 6:14, that if you want to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 12 through 16, those verses all affirm that we do have an impact on one another, for better or worse. So it's important to understand and have deep respect for somebody else. One of the other things we talked about, too, is that what if you are in relationship with someone who used to have a deep faith and now they're mocking your faith? Well, if that's happening in any of your lives, we want to say that that's just really tough, right? That's really hard, and I wish that that weren't happening in your life right now. But often when someone has a change like that, something happened, right? Something happened in that individual's life who's now mocking another's faith. Something happened maybe in their relationship with God, and it's easier to take that out on somebody else. Maybe they're angry with God. Maybe there's something that happened in life that's difficult to understand, or something happened in a church that really hurt them. And so it's harder to attack that, right? And so we tend to take that out on people around us. So sometimes it helps to have deep, honest, open conversation with somebody to hear their story and what's going on in their lives at that deeper level. If they're now the ones attacking you, right, in your faith, something happened. So if we can help meet people where they are, again, in grace and respect, and hear and understand their story. What do y'all want to add? I'm going to stop talking for a minute. What do y'all want to add?
Yeah, you know, as you mentioned that, Pastor Emily, one of the things I thought about was the image of salt and light that you brought up. There's another image that comes to mind too, which is the image that is sort of threaded through Psalms and Proverbs of, you know, even David and others praying for a heart of flesh versus a heart of stone. And so for people who we find ourselves in relationship with who have a differing faith or has been a part of the faith and have fallen away, my encouragement is to always see those as opportunities. You know, Christ says that, you know, there will be greater works that we will do. And I think that's an opportunity to see and to consider yourself a part of. This is an opportunity for me to do a greater work with being the salt of the earth and the light of the world, to not hide it or to stop, you know, being salty, right? Don't unsalt yourself, which is impossible, or to dim your light that Christ gave you, but to always be the salt, always be the light, and to use those as opportunities to not only spread the gospel, but to show them God's love. So, yeah, those images, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's always important to recognize that each person comes to the relationship, whether it's a marriage or just a friendship, that they're coming to that relationship with unique relationships outside of that one, and also a unique experience, that what somebody has experienced is not the same thing that we're ever going to go through each moment, each day. And to recognize that there needs to be a ton of humility, a ton of compassion in that, because we're not going to share the same beliefs. It's not a one size fits all, as you already mentioned, but in our relationships and our advice is not a one size fits all, but coming to the relationship with open ears and an open understanding to really hear people out, rather than making those preconceived notions. And sure, we have different beliefs, but how can we trust and how can we foster that sense of communication and community with one another, even though our beliefs may differ?
Yeah.
I think that's important.
Yeah.
Scripture also talks about being, you know, yoked to Christ, and we never forsake us, you know, being yoked to Christ, taking up, you know, our cross that is Christ's cross. But then it also talks about, you know, how can two walk together lest they agree? You know, how can they do that? It's impossible to do that. So if y'all don't mind, I'm going to actually jump to some differences in marriage and family, because that's some of the other questions, even around yoking and relationship dynamics that's come up. So we received some questions about marriage and family dynamics. But in summary, those questions came to this. How is it that a couple build and maintain a strong relationship while raising children and facing struggles? Along with that, what does it mean to fight versus compromise as a Christian in relationship with one another? There was also a question that came up as far as being soulmates. And is there such thing as soulmates? Is my person out there waiting for me? You know, this is an interesting question, because I think even if you are, you know, single or have been married before, you know how hard it is to disciple or to do life with a group of people. That's just challenging to do. But if it's a spousal relationship and you're raising children, I think the most important thing is that nucleus of the family, which are the two spouses. So that nucleus, in my opinion, needs to be rooted and grounded in Christ always. So number one, just put God first. Put God first. We should have done that or have done that when we got married. And so we want to make sure that we continue that spiritual relationship and recognize that as we're two or as we're a family, the nucleus relationship of the family makes a big difference. And the spiritual health of those two individuals makes an incredible difference as well. So you got to put God first. Don't let that just be like a cute thought, but that has to be a reality for the couple too. I think also that you all need to love each other selflessly. You know, that's another key part. Take turns loving one another. I think there was a scripture we preached in this series that talked about outdoing one another and showing honor and love. That's fun, right? Like, whereas you could fight, take turns, you know, fighting with one another. What would it look like if you took turns showing honor to each other and showing love to each other? So continue to make that a practice. And then I think also wisdom is important to relationships too, especially the nucleus of that family. And I think Proverbs 15 speaks to that, at least in one of the ways where it talks about, you know, a gentle answer turns away wrath. It's like, okay, you know your triggers. I have access to all your buttons, and I'm not going to press any of them. I won't flip the lid to them to start pressing them because you matter, and I don't want to trigger you or breach a boundary that will cause you to wrath. So consider the ways that people are growing. And then last, I would say, always make it a good practice to practice forgiveness in relationship. That's super hard. We've talked about that before. But forgiveness is the way to grace. And it shows not only, a capacity for us to have grace, but then also it's how we convey God's grace for us too. That we won't hold grudges against, or we won't, hold you to things that you do or say. So what would y'all say?
Yeah, I think intentionality matters a lot.
Yeah.
Setting aside time, space for that relationship, nurturing that of that relationship between spouses when you're trying to raise children, that one of the best gifts we can give our children is a healthy marriage. I want to weigh in on that soulmate question a little bit.
Sure.
It's a lovely romantic concept, isn't it? And it can set people up for some unrealistic expectations for marriage. That relationships, marriage is hard work. Marriage is always hard work, right? I mean, it's a blessing. It's an incredible blessing. But you'll be working on that relationship for as long as it is, right? And then I've talked with couples who've been married for 60-some years, and they have told me they've fallen in and out of love in those marriages over and over again. That there's some days when it's easier to love one another, some days when it's harder. And so making the choice to do the loving thing, even when you don't feel like it, matters. And then also to say that when they said they'd fallen in and out of love a number of times, that what mattered is the commitment they'd made to each other, that they would keep working at it, right? And keep working on that relationship together out of respect and love.
I think it's important to recognize that there's a difference between loving and liking, right? Like, there are some times that I really don't like some people, but I'm called to love them no matter what. And if my spouse, hi, is watching, I love you always, but we recognize that we sometimes push each other's buttons and we don't like each other. So we need to recognize that we need to take a step away, right? Take a breather, go take a walk, go do something, because sometimes we can get on each other's nerves. And we know those buttons, especially if we've been in a relationship with people for a long period of time. And I'm going to name this, is that fighting is healthy within a relationship, but it's not about the other person. It's about the situation that's at hand or the topic. And so if you focus on that situation or on that topic rather than solely on the person, that removes the gloves and it removes those triggers that you can have. And so we need to recognize that it's about treating that other person with respect and listening and approaching the situation from a different standpoint and trying to hear other people, as we focused on in the sermon series, with empathy and with respect and just outdoing one another. And I love that scripture passage, outdoing one another and showing honor to one another, and take those gloves off and be able to recognize that where that other person may be coming from.
Yeah,
that kind of brings us to our second to last section of questions, boundaries. And here are some of the summaries. How do you know when to end a relationship? How do you handle toxic relationships, especially with people who don't want things to heal? And what is the connection between not judging another and holding that person accountable? And I want to touch on that first question. How do we know when relationships should end? And I think the first thing is to pray about it, right? Maybe it's a friendship, maybe it is a dating relationship, but we need to recognize that we need to pray and we need to put God first and foremost in that relationship, because God will reveal what's going on within that, and it will reveal what's going on in your heart as well. Because if you're coming to a relationship with any kind of animosity towards that other person, then you're not, you have blinders on and you're not able to see who that person is, especially through the lens of Christ. And navigating toxic relationships, that is especially hard because that person's toxic, and we don't want that toxicity coming upon us and our lives. And everybody comes to relationships with baggage. But they need to recognize that their baggage is their baggage and our baggage is our baggage. And we're called to bear one another's burdens, but that means bearing it for only a season. It doesn't mean taking their baggage on as our own. Yeah. You guys want
to
weigh in?
Like you're willing to deal with our own stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. In the grace of God and through prayer with another person that we know we're rooted and grounded in God's love, and we relate to the other person out of that. I think too, when it's a matter of safety or abuse or harm, that crosses a line, right? And then one of the books in the resources that we shared, Boundaries by Cloud and Townsend, that can be helpful, especially in setting up relationship boundaries that are healthy when things do reach a toxic level.
Well, my thought to that is, you know, I think it just goes to say, and we just need to name that, you know, there are lots of reasons. You've mentioned just a couple of them why a relationship may need to end, you know, abuse or infidelity, whatever it is. You know, you could, you know, compile your own list, but I think praying about it is essential. Also, you know, inviting a community into it, a trusted community, is important too. You know, people who you trust. And then a very wise person told me, it actually was after the service, one of the ways that you can discern if a relationship needs to end is to, in prayer with God and community with others, is decide if this relationship makes you whole, and does it make you feel whole, and which option, whether leaving or staying, makes you whole. And I thought that was incredible wisdom, because wholeness is what we seek. And I think if that essence of wholeness is missing in a relationship, you number one, explore how we retrieve it, how we get it back, how we create it, or if it's not, then pray about what to do next. So.
Yeah, one of those other questions was about accountability, discernment, and
not judging.
And not judging, yeah. So we talked about an example earlier this week when we were discussing the questions, and it was about, say you have a child who's being disrespectful to a parent with words, and so the other parent calls them out on that. That's the judgment, right? This is not okay. It's not okay to be disrespectful to your parent. And so that's the judgment part, right? And then we want to hold them accountable to that. And part of that is helping them discern what language is okay to use and what's not. Discerning what's a healthy way to interact with a parent and what's not, what's disrespectful and what's not. And that's just one example, but it's okay. There are times when we need to say this, that something that's happening in the relationship is not okay and hurts us or is harmful. And so we can name that and help to hold people accountable by marking those boundaries, right? And somebody's going to cross those boundaries. People do. And so we walk them back out to the boundary and we explain it and talk about it again.
And nobody's
it's
perfect,
messy,
right?
It's just messy, huh?
Yeah, nobody's perfect,
and nobody's
right?
Perfect, yeah.
And we need to hold each other accountable in those ways. And rather than judging or condemning, we need to offer honest feedback, but from a place of love and truth and humility.
Yeah. And go ahead.
I was just going to go to the last few questions, but did you want
to? Well, I was going to say, for Christians, I think we need to name and say and remember that the standard of measure, right, the metric that we're measuring that by is not anything other than the fruit of the Spirit, right? You know, joy, peace, kindness, like those are things that are born out of us, right? And that Christ bears out of us or helps us to bear. And so that's what we measure that by, right? Yeah. Accountability, but then also fruit of the Spirit, you know.
That one of the last questions actually deals with that, and it asks about how should Christians respond to people who annoy them? That doesn't happen to anybody, right? And then knowing that we are annoying to other people as well, right? It works both ways. So we go back to the fruits of the Spirit with that. Self-control is one of the fruits of the Spirit, so that we have self-control in our relationships with people who are difficult or prickly or annoying. And when you know you're going to be around that person a lot, it's good to prepare for that, right? Mm-hmm. In prayer, and ask for God to help us then interact with someone else out of love, to interact with someone else out of understanding that we are loved by God and they are too. And so putting in place, again, boundaries when we need them, but taking a deep breath and find something for which to be thankful in that other person, something on which you can hang your hat still.
We need to be honest. Everybody is annoying to somebody, right?
That is true.
Would you guys agree?
Yeah.
It's none of you are annoying. Just hear that. But you need to embrace that scripture passage from James 1:19 to be slow to anger and slow to speak, but quick to listen. And that'll help us all be less annoying sometimes.
Yeah. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 40 was a question. So it said, what about 1 Corinthians 7, verse 40? Are people supposed to stay single? About being single or being married? And so we talked about that earlier, and you can live a holy and blessed life as a single person. You can live a holy and blessed life as a married person. And that verse from chapter 7, verse 40 was asking, it's good to, when we pull a verse out of a context, it's good to put it right back in that context to understand from which it comes. So when Paul was writing that, he was writing in the context of they thought that Jesus was coming back immediately, very, very soon. And so they wanted to maximize their time in service of the gospel, right? So Paul was writing, don't get married. Stay working for the kingdom as much as you can. But can you imagine, right, Mother Teresa, if she had only been married, oh my goodness, what good she could have done for God and the world, right? We know now that you can be married or you can be single and live a life that is fruitful in terms of being a person of faith. We wouldn't say about Billy Graham, oh, if he'd only been single, he could have really done something. You know, that there is value in either being single or being married and living out this calling to serve God with all that we are. Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. And that last question, we need to focus on that. What is something with your relationship with other pastors that you value? And I believe the person was talking about us as a pastoral team. And so I value each of you. And it's just an amazing opportunity to work as a tripod. Yeah, we are a tripod. It's amazing to work with you as a tripod, where we each come from our different perspectives and each value them and just glorify God and build the kingdom through Ebenezer. And we couldn't do this without this amazing congregation. And I'm thankful for each of you.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, appreciate I feel like that. I'm a better pastor for serving with you too.
Yeah.
And y'all make me laugh. And I'm thankful for that.
Yeah, same.
Donovan, you annoy me.
You got to prepare for that.
We listen and we...
Don't judge.
Nope. No. Judge all day.
No, I appreciate and love and value smart people. And these are two of the most incredibly smart people that I know. And there have been lots of times where I needed to rely on their wisdom, whether that's theologically or just in personal relationships. And so I value the wisdom that God has born in y'all and the way that we share that amongst each other. And you don't always see unity in a pastoral team. Sometimes it doesn't go right or well. And I'm grateful God put us together to be an example for, a unity in the bond of peace. Back
Amen.
To scripture.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, we're about to wrap up and we get to share communion together today, which is a sacrament that reminds us about living out of this way that we understand ourselves to be loved by God and invited to a table where we live that out, where we are with our brothers and sisters at the table and get up from the table then to go live in grace. And so I want to invite you to soak in that scripture from Ephesians that we read today. Read that we know and understand ourselves to be rooted and grounded in the height and length and breadth and depth of God's love and living out of that in our relationships with others. Amen.
Let's do it.